All right, so this is Mark Borsma talking with Jill, and we're having this unbelievable, cool spiritual conversation. I have no idea where it's going, but I said, hey, Jill, can I tape this? She said, sure. So I am. And so so we're talking about Jesus, and we're talking about God. And so, Jill, it was really cool what you said about, you know, churches and how you were raised. Can you share that again?
That I shared today?
Uh-huh.
Sure. So just in the churches that I have experienced with Christians, and there's been multiple denominations that I've explored, God has been completely replaced with Jesus. So that is one of the biggest reasons that I took a step away from Christianity, because, like, the Almighty Creator has been replaced with Jesus. Whether Jesus is the Master Teacher, the Son of God, however you want to look at Jesus, Jesus has completely replaced the Creator of all.
So I could be wrong. My dad would be very disappointed in me, or maybe not. I don't know. But I'm pretty sure that if you look at creation, that Jesus was responsible for creation, for creating man and everything, I believe.
Why do you say that?
It's something I don't know if I remember my dad sharing it or my own Bible study or when I was at Bible college. I have no idea where I picked it up, but I think, like, there's different roles for God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. So there's different roles. Like, each of them have a role. Like God, you know, the Father, he has a role. God, he has a role. God, the Son, you know, has a role. And the Holy Spirit has a role, too. And I believe, if I remember correctly theology, I believe that God the Son, Jesus, the responsibility was to create man. Like the creation of Adam and Eve and all of Earth, I believe that God the Son was responsible for that.
That's interesting. I don't remember that from any of my quote-unquote education, as in Sunday school and church.
Yeah, that's not something that I think is really highlighted a lot. I don't like the different roles. Like, what is the role of God the Father? What is the role of God the Son? And what is the role of, you know, the Holy Spirit? And so when you said, you know, they've taken God out of the equation and it's all about Jesus, I'm like, oh, yeah, that's really cool. I'm like, so that there's, you know, I mean, it's almost like Jesus is a whole lot easier to understand, we think, than the Holy Spirit or than God the Father.
No, so, but to me, in my opinion, I think it is, like, why does there need to be a middleman? Why can't, if we're created in God's image, if we are, then there's a connection there. Why don't we just go straight to God? Why does there have to be that, the middleman?
Right, right. And so, like, it talks about God, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, where this is really, like, this is stuff, like, I've never tasted alcohol. And so one thing that's always bugged me is there's two or three passages in the Bible where it says, do not be filled with, you know, alcohol. Do not be filled with strong drink. Do not be filled with alcohol, but be filled with the Spirit. the Holy Spirit. Not God the Son, not God the Father, but the Holy Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. And it's comparing it to alcohol. And that almost right there causes me to say, you know what, I think I just want to have some wine just to see what that feels like. I mean, I won't, but I almost do. I'm like, and so I'm like, okay, Mark, get in the, you know, get in, like, somebody, okay, so you see a drunk on TV, you see somebody that's been alcohol, like, what does that do, what does alcohol do, you know, to somebody? It almost takes them to another state. Like, it almost, something, it does something. Like, why didn't it say, you know, don't be filled with a good steak? You know, be filled by the Holy Spirit. Like, don't be filled with ice cream, but, you know, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Like, why did it say alcohol? Why? Like, why did it say that? Why is it comparing that? I mean, it's like something I can't relate to. Because of the choices that I've made. And it's like, so there's a reason. It's not like, and it's not once, it's two or three times. And so the Holy Spirit, it talks about, like, the role, one of the roles of the Holy Spirit is, it says again a couple times where it says the Holy Spirit, when we're praying, when we're crying out, that it will interpret, like, it's like the Holy Spirit is a connector between God and us. Like, it says it'll actually speak in a language. The Holy Spirit will speak in a language like a translator. Like, it's like like, it's taking human language and turning it into God language, and turning God language and turning it into human. So I think of it as like God is the nuclear reactor, and the reason we need something is for our own benefit. Otherwise, we're going to get melted down. Like, there's too much.
Right.
But as we get close, like, as we grow spiritually, as we grow spiritually, we get closer to God, and maybe there's less of an, I mean, I'm not saying this is theologically correct. I'm just saying this is Marxism. I'm just like, we get closer to an understanding. We get closer to God.
So there's less translation needed.
Yeah. That's, again, theology, I would be pressed to do that. But it's like, well, but I think I could find scripture to support it, I'm pretty sure. But that's not something you're going to hear on a Sunday morning or in Sunday school. You will not hear that. At least I never have. But in the charismatic, in the Pentecostal churches, like, they're more connected into the Holy Spirit, big time. Like, they dance and they go ahead and speak in tongues and they do a whole bunch of different things.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying it's good. I'm not saying it's bad. There's scripture to support that perspective. And it's like, well, God is all of this. But people tend to go ahead and, I think, follow their own personality. You know, you find a lot of expressive personalities in charismatic and Pentecostal churches.
Makes sense.
And so, I don't struggle. That's not good or bad, not right or wrong. I don't struggle with why there needs to be somebody in between, kind of, because they're all God. It's just different aspects of God. What I struggle with is what really messes my brain up is, why did Jesus have to die? If you're God, change the rules, right?
Right.
I mean, like, that I don't understand. Like, that I do not understand. Like, I don't understand that. Like, that just, that messes my brain up. And I think, like, the closer we get to God, the more our brains get messed up. Like, it makes no sense. It's like, what? You have to die to, you have to die to live? What? You have to go ahead and love your enemies? You have to, like, there's all this stuff in the Bible that just makes no sense intellectually. Like, it's not rational thought. And so when I get close to God, I'm like, oh, cool. Like, I'm totally confused. Like, that makes no sense. And then I'm like, that's when I feel closest connected to God, not Jesus, not the Holy Spirit. That's when I get, what the imagery that hits me now is when I was probably, I don't know, 2 or 3 years old. And we were traveling in the station wagon, and, you know, that was before seatbelt laws and all that, kids' seats, you know. And so I was curled up, you know, on the passenger side, sleeping down on the floor. And I just, like, I don't know, there's this warmth, it's like my dad had everything covered, like everything was, like I was just in his, like I was just in his arms. It was just, and so for me, I'm like, this is when I get closest to God, when I'm the most confused, when I'm the most, like I can't understand this. This is beyond my comprehension. That, to me, is when I'm closest to God.
Right, and kind of comes back to the more you know, the more you realize you don't know.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
And so I think you can be closest to God when you go ahead and are confused, and you're, because you have to trust in Him. You have to, or not. I mean, you know, if you're going to go ahead, like, I don't know why He did what He did. I don't know. Like, why? I don't know. How can something be forever in the past and forever in the future?
Right.
how could there not be a beginning? That's why scientists just, like, I just laugh. I'm like, how can you think there's nothing out there? How can you think there's not a creator? You cannot explain the infinity of the universe. Like the more you know, the more you know you don't know.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, how can you go ahead and think you're so smart? Because you're not. You're just, like every year science recognizes more and more of what they don't know. I mean, every year. And so I think that, you know, the most important question of all questions, I believe, you know how I'm a big questioning guy?
Yeah.
Like the most powerful, life-changing question I think anybody can ever ask is, you know, when you stand before your Creator, God, and He goes and says, "Hey, Jill, you know, should I let you into heaven? Like, are you going to, you know, are you going to get into heaven or not? What do you think?"
Well, this might go against Christian beliefs, but yes, because I serve my Creator.
Right.
You know, within Christianity, you have to accept Jesus into your heart. See what I'm saying? See the disconnect
right there?
Well, like,
no, I'm not real concerned about Christianity because I think there's a lot of flaws in Christianity. A lot. I mean, like, a lot. And Christians don't like me, especially because I say that. But what a religion says, what Christianity says, is not what's important. Is the truth.
But so doesn't it even say that in the Bible, Mark?
It does. It does. But, and so, you know, being connected, so it talks about, let me see here. And so, if I go to Romans, so in Romans 3:23 it says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. So, you know, we're all sinners. Would you agree with that?
Sorry, yes.
And so, I'm sorry, that's Romans 3:10. So, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Romans 3:23, it says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So we're all, so that's Romans 3:23. So we've come short of the glory of God. Like, okay. So we've come up short of what God, you know, God expects, what God requires. Do you believe that?
Absolutely.
Romans 5:12 says, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, so that's Adam, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. And so, like, we're all born into this world as sinners. You believe that?
I disagree with that, no. I think that children are born in the purest form. Again, the purest form, and then it's by...
Well, it might be more pure than you and I are. But in Romans, in Romans, you know, 3:23, it says, for all have sinned. You said, you know, the Bible, you said, well, the Bible says this. And so it says, wherefore, by one man sin entered in the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. And so, you know, if we're all sinners, we're all sinners. Right?
Yes, but how can a baby be done anything? You know what I mean? Like, how?
Yeah. Because I don't understand something does not make it not true. I mean, like, how quickly do you see with a baby, how quickly do you see the sin nature come out in a baby?
Well, what do you define as sin nature? As in crying?
No.
Not
inherent. Not inherently crying. I mean, crying because you're hungry isn't sin.
Right.
To manipulate your mom into giving you something you want that you may not need, but you want. Okay, that might be sin.
Right, but that's after probably months, at least weeks.
Right. So there's a very short period of time.
Okay.
There's a very short period of time between, you know, birth and sin becoming very, very apparent. I mean, it's like, yeah, that child is manipulating. That child is selfish, not considering, you know, other people. So when that happens, I don't know, but it happens pretty quick. At least with all seven of my kids, it did. I mean, it's like, you got to be joking. So if we're all sinners, okay, Romans 6:23, so it says, for the wages of sin is death. And so the wages of sin is death. That's not only physical death, but it's spiritual death too. But the gift of God, okay, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So the gift of God, like, it's a gift from God. Like, here's a gift from God. It's Jesus. So it's a gift he's given to us. The gift of eternal life is Jesus. So that's Romans 6:23. Romans 5:8 is, but God commendeth his love towards us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So it's like God's love for us, you know, God's love for us, he demonstrated. It's like a gift to us. It's like there's nothing we can do to earn it. There's nothing, you know, there's nothing we can do to earn it. There's nothing we can do of ourselves. It's a gift, and we can either accept it or reject it. Romans 10:13 says, For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And then Ephesians, well, let me back up here. Romans 10:9. So it says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So it's like God gave us the gift of Jesus. I mean, it's through Jesus. I mean, it's like that. That's how it's going to happen. That's the mechanism. Do I understand it? No. As I had shared earlier, it's like, I don't understand that. Like, why couldn't Jesus, like God, like if God's all powerful, all knowing, it's like, well, God just changed the rules, right? You're God. But for whatever reason, yeah, that couldn't happen, which makes no sense to me, which makes me believe, hey, I'm closer to God thing. Like, it's like, okay, yep, that one's beyond me. So as soon as it's beyond me, I'm like, okay, I have to go into like a childlike faith. I have to just trust God. And so in Romans 2, or sorry, Ephesians 2:8-9, it says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, okay? The gift of God is Jesus, not of works, lest any man should boast. So we talk a lot about dimensional, you know, dimensional living, dimensional thinking. Like the Bible has all this stuff about, you know, dimensional thinking. So people are like, well, I'm a good person. I mean, you know, I've never had an affair. Okay, well, that's man's standard. God's standard is, have you looked at a woman and lusted after her? If you have, you've committed adultery in your heart. That's God's standard. Well, I've never murdered somebody. Okay, have you ever hated somebody? Oh, yeah. Okay, well, then you've done that in the heart. Okay, I don't steal from anybody. Do you covet? Do you desire things that other people have? Well, yeah, God's standard is, you know, okay, yeah, you have sinned. And so it's almost like the Grand Canyon, you know, and it's like trying to jump across the Grand Canyon. Like, maybe you can jump a little bit further than I can, but guess what? We're both going down. And so, like, I think, for me, when I read the Bible, it's very clear that Jesus is the way. And he's the only way. And it's like, well, I don't know if I like it that way. Well, Mark, you're not God. I don't know if I understand it. Mark, you're not God. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. No.
So, have you, I mean, well, you must have some questions. I mean, that seems like it's contradictory to maybe your personal belief system.
Well, it certainly is, yes. I mean, I continue to go back to, I mean, our entire lives, we've been so deceived and, you know, there's so much evil in this world that it's hard for me to ask anybody or anything, for that matter, into my heart besides my Creator. So if that encompasses Jesus, that's fine, but I have a hard time asking for anyone or anything, any entity, any being, anything to come into my heart besides my Creator, because I feel that there is so much, there's like this huge mass deception and enslaving the people and changing the truth, I mean, so much bigger than, you know, big corporation, big education, so much bigger than big religion. And it goes, you know, far deeper than that, whether it's truly the battle of, you know, the devil and trying to overcome God, which, you know, I mean, it is what it is, but I don't know. I just have a hard time with that. Like, I don't know. And I get that that's what Scripture says, but I don't know.
Well, so if you get that, if you get that's what the Scripture says, like, are you going to, like, it seems like, correct me if I'm wrong, but it seems like you have a feeling or you have thoughts and you're like, you know what, I'm going to go with my feelings or my thoughts versus what Scripture says. Now, maybe I'm misunderstanding that. I don't know.
The way that I don't know, I mean, this is where it gets gray for me, just knowing that, I mean, there's a ton of Scripture that's missing, that's not included in the Bible, right? Like, what does that say? What does that include? It seems like a lot of Scripture was, you know, picked and chosen, but who was it picked and chosen by?
Well, if God created the universe, if he created human beings, he's probably capable of, you know, of figuring out what's in the Bible and what's not. Like, he probably is a protector of his own word. He's probably strong enough to do that.
But then it all comes down to perception, how people perceive what is of the Bible, of what's in Scripture.
Well, that's why it's never been, like, we've never lived in a time that's a better time than today in being able to go ahead and actually look at Scripture ourselves. I mean, like, in the old days, like, if you didn't know Greek, you couldn't go ahead and study Scripture. Now we can go online. And we can go ahead and really dig into what does Scripture really say? Like, what does it really say? So we go to church and, okay, we hear something. Okay, well, what does Scripture really say? We can go into the original language now. You and I can go into the original language and say, what does that word really mean?
Right.
And it talks about a couple places where God can use the rocks to cry out. Like, if those who are followers of God, those who are followers of Christ, and I don't think you can be a follower of God without being a follower of Christ, and I don't think you can be a follower of Christ without being a follower of God. I think those things, it's all interchangeable. And I think there are people that think they follow God, but they don't, because they don't, you know, they don't follow Christ. And I think that there are people that, on the reverse, that may follow Christ but not be followers of God. And so what does the Bible say? And then digging into that, you know, digging into that and saying, okay, what does it really say that? And I think a lot of Christians, you know, are lazy. A lot of people are lazy spiritually. And they don't research it. They don't really, like, they don't really dig into it, and they don't really say, well, what does this mean? Well, this is what I've been taught. Okay, well, maybe what you've taught is right, or maybe it's not. But when, you know, when, like when, like when you're presented with something that the Bible says, you know, when you're presented with what the Bible says, I mean, you know, that's pretty important to be able to, you know, what to look at that. I don't know if that's making any sense.
It didn't make sense to me, though, what you just said.
So, like the passages that I read, it's right. Like God gave us a gift of Jesus, and Jesus is the way. I mean, that's what the Bible says. Now, if you want to dig into that, absolutely, for sure, dig into it. Don't believe what I say. But if the Bible, you know, if the Bible says this is the way it is Jill going to believe that?
Yes, but I continue to go back to, thou shalt have no other God before me.
Right.
So, like, did God, he just misspoke, or he just didn't know that he was going, that Jesus was going to be a part of the equation later on? I mean, you know.
Well, but the thing is, like, these are things that we do not understand, for sure. Because, I mean, how can we understand them? I mean, Jesus is not, like, different than God. Like, it's not. Like Jesus, I mean, when Jesus, like Jesus and God are one and the same. So when it's saying, "Have no other gods before me," well, Jesus is not like another God. It's one and the same. Make sense or not so much?
Well, I mean, I definitely, I hear that. I hear what you're saying. I understand what you're saying, but...
So what do you think the resistance is so much to Jesus? I mean, if Jesus is God, Jesus is a gift from God, if that, you know, if that is true, what do you think your resistance is? Where do you think it's coming from?
That's a good question. I don't know. I don't know, I guess, where that resistance is coming from, other than that it seems as though we've completely replaced God. Like, even when people pray, they're praying to Jesus. But God is the creator of everything. So why don't we just go to God through God? I have a problem with the middleman, with the middle. And I get that that's what Scripture is saying through that. I understand that, but again, I don't know.
This is awesome. I love this stuff. I mean, I do. I do, and so when both you and Ed, I think it was, when both you and Ed went ahead and said on the CPN, the reason I like CPN, Christian Professional Network, is because I can go ahead and ask questions here that I don't feel I can in the church. And so it's cool. I love that you ask the questions. Those are good questions. I think those are really good questions. I have answered those questions in my own mind. But maybe it's because I haven't asked as deep. Maybe you're asking a deeper question than me. Or maybe I'm not able to communicate what my heart's come to and why I've come to it. Or maybe your heart's going to be different, which is fine. I mean, God created you in an amazing way. And he wants to have a deep, personal, intimate, passionate relationship with you in a huge way. And so, you know, there's others that, you know, in CPN, some that are not in CPN, that, you know, I'll go ahead and pass, you know, the video along to them and say, hey, you guys ought to listen to this. Jill's got some great questions. And I tried to answer them, but I was not successful, which is fine. It's not a big deal. And I love your, you know, I love your desire and your heart, you know, to God and to please God and to be one with God. I love that. I mean, that's amazing. So I think that in God's timing, that when these things are revealed to you, that you will then respond. And that will answer a lot of questions that you have, and that will help you to go from that 4 spiritually, you know, to a 10. And I believe once you go ahead and get to that 10, then you'll move to another dimension, and you'll have, you know, more questions.
Yep.
and they'll continue, and I think that's part of life. That's part of living. So you're good with me, you know, passing this along to others and seeing what they think about it?
Absolutely.
And so I appreciate that. So any other thoughts or questions or insights, Jill?
No, not right now.
Okay.
I got to get a little man up.
Yeah.
Sorry.
So if you're listening to the rebroadcast of this, you have any questions on this, you can connect with the individual who invited you to participate in today, you know, in our conversation today. It's a great conversation. This is connected. Jill and I are connected personally, professionally, relationally, just a whole bunch of different ways. And one of those connections is through CPN, Christian Professional Network. It is where, you know, Christians, non-Christians, atheists, Buddhists, anybody can connect with. And you talk about spirituality from a perspective of we're all pilgrims seeking truth, and so what is that truth, and looking at that